And they've all been great changes. And I think about that in my life that, boy, it was just a total 180-degree turn. The things of this life just began to become so less important, and then the things of Christ more and more as time went on. But what a great, great change that took place in my life when I got saved. And I know, no doubt, the same for you. Amen? Amen. All right, just something that I forgot to bring up. In a couple weeks, on the 7th of July, the Harrises are going to be with us. I'm excited about that. From Mexico, Brother Stephen, his wife Peggy, they'll be here. Of course, the twins are going to be like 1 year old, real right around that time, exactly on that day. And so they're going to be coming here, and we're going to be celebrating those adorable little twins, all right? I don't know that, I think they're like the cutest little girls in all the world. So, you know, maybe a little biased, but it's amazing they're already gonna be 1 year of age. So we'll get to hear from Brother Harris in a couple weeks, and I've asked him to preach in the morning and the evening service, so looking forward to that. All right, well, I've encouraged you to get to a chance to get to know Brother Aiden Watkins, and if you haven't had that opportunity, you should tonight. We're going to have a fellowship. We'll have a lot of time out there. Looking forward to all of that. Again, I've said it already, but I am very excited about him being here. And I know the Lord's already using him. The Lord's going to use him in a great way. Pray that God will use him with his workload and those he's going to be working out there in Spokane. Are you in Spokane or Spokane Valley? Spokane. So pray about that, and then of course, what he's going to be able to do here at the church, in the office, and the other things that I have for him. I know he'll be a blessing. All right, Brother Aiden, you come on up. I know the Lord laid some things on his heart. I'm excited about this. Amen, brother. All right, praying for you.
Good evening. I have to make sure this mic is off when I'm singing, or else it'd be an empty building. So nobody wants to hear that. So it is pretty exciting to be here. I'm to see Pastor Garcia up here and the Petersons leading music, you know, obviously from Treasure Valley. Mrs. Peterson was one of my teachers, and I definitely didn't cause her any trouble growing up. And never, that's right, good answer, thank you. never any trouble. And then Pastor Garcia, obviously, was the principal of the school from third to sixth grade, at least that's how old I was. And my grandmother worked at the church for about 40 years, and so I would always go up there, me and my brother, and we'd bother him for about an hour every afternoon. And I remember when he told me he was moving to Hayden, Idaho, we were in his office and I started crying. And I was so sad. And so it's really amazing that the Lord brought me here and I get a chance to just learn under a great man. And I thank you as a church. You guys have all been so kind to me and I appreciate it. I'm excited to learn more. If you were here this morning for Sunday school, I thought my message was going to get stolen. So I was a little worried. So maybe a little bit of overlap, but it's not quite the same message. My message tonight is, do I have little faith? And we're going to be in Matthew 14. And I saw that amen sign down here earlier, and I like this. Yeah. This is good. Oh, this is even better.
Yep.
Laugh. That's good. Yeah, that's all I need. Okay, cool. So, you know, if it's a little dry, amen. If I tell a joke, no one laughs, laugh. All right, perfect. I think we are good to go then. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14 tonight, and we're going to be in verses 22 through 33. Matthew 14, 22 through 33, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, which he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked unto the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. God, it's such an honor for me to stand here and preach to these saints. God, I just pray that you'll get me out of your way. Lord, just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the words you want to say. Help me just stand behind your book and your words. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all you've done. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So obviously, the question is, do I have little faith? And it's kind of just a quick introduction of why is faith important in our lives. We understand that without faith, we cannot be saved. It is required to be saved. It's by grace through faith. And I'm just going to read these real quick. You don't have to turn there. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not as yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So it's pretty simple that without faith, we cannot be saved. There's not much more than faith. It's repentance and faith, and that is the key to heaven. It's not baptism. It's not good works. It's nothing on our own that gets us there. But after we get saved, we understand that it's the actually only way to please God. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So we were created to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So tonight, we're going to ask ourselves if we have little faith in the midst of storms, and if so, how do we fix that? Also, we need to ask, is Christ in our boat? So the first thing we see in verses 22 through 27 are that these disciples were called of God. We see in verse 22 that Christ tells them, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. So the first point I want to bring is just because things get hard doesn't mean it's not God's will. Right. Too many times in life, things will get a little difficult or a little hard, and we just kind of assume that maybe I'm not doing what God wants me to do. And as we go on to see, we understand that this storm happens to these disciples as they were obeying Jesus Christ. So the first thing you have to realize is you have to fight the lie of the devil telling you that when things go bad, it's because you're out of God's will. It's a big issue in my own life through times when you're doing what God wants you to do. You're going to institute, you're serving the Lord, you're doing the best you can, and things still are difficult. And you kind of scratch your head and you say, "God, I don't know if this is what you want me to do. I know," but you have to go on your last marching orders. When God tells you to do something, you need to do it. You need to go.
There you go. Yeah.
We also need to be careful that we're living clean enough to be called. A lot of times I think people will miss out on what God is telling them to do because they're not willing to get rid of some sin in their life. If you're going to be called from God, you have to have a clean life. You have to be in the Word of God. You have to be praying. You have to be living a life dedicated to Jesus Christ. So we have to make sure that we're clean. That is important. Another storm, if you will, that I kind of related to this is the two different boats. I noticed a boat of Jesus saying, "Go this way," and then the boat of waiting. Waiting is never fun. I was having breakfast with Brother Gary and Brother Tony, and Brother Tony said that he's a good waiter. So I think it was sarcastic, I don't know. But everyone in this room is probably good at waiting on God, right? We never rush God's timeline. We never doubt what God's doing. We're always just, "God, we know that you're going to do it the way you want it," right? I know I am. Not like that. Not like that. But the boat of waiting can be very difficult. But on the same side, the boat of going can be very difficult as well. A lot of times for example, I just moved here, and right now, if you want to call it the honeymoon phase, I love it. My friends called me, and they said, "Oh, do you miss Boise?" And I said, "Not really, at all." I mean, I miss some of my friends, and one thing I do miss is In-N-Out. We got an In-N-Out probably almost a year ago, and I got to enjoy it, and then they stripped it away from me. And so instead of a love offering for me, what we're going to do is we're going to donate that to In-N-Out and try to get them to come up here, and we're going to start a GoFundMe, and then it'll be like home. I won't need anything else. But we see on this boat of going, as they're out and following what Christ told them to do, when they get scared, he says, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." So the message is if you're following God and you're doing what he's doing and you have a storm, be of good cheer. Rest in knowing that God is still there. On the opposite side, and maybe you're in that boat of waiting where you're saying, "God, you're kind of maybe showing me some things. I'm wanting to do this and wanting to do that and have these ideas, but I don't have that call quite yet. I still feel like you might have me waiting for something." Well, in Psalms 27:14, it says, "Be of good courage." It can be very discouraging waiting on God. A little bit of transparency about myself and my own testimony is when I was in Bible school, I knew the Lord had planned my life to do something to help under a ministry or a pastor, at least right out of college, and I got a little impatient with that. My first year came, and I had two more years, and I started kind of peeping around of, all right, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And this door closed, and this door closed, and this door closed, and that's because I was doing what God wanted me to do going to school. I was in that boat of going, And I just kind of try to rush things and rush things and rush things, and it didn't go well. And I got discouraged, and maybe I try to rush God's will. And I was like, no, come on, God, this way, this way. And never thought about Northern Idaho, really. I think that is a testament to Psalms 37:4, where Scripture says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. One of my friends got married, 2022 now, in Post Falls. And I was here visiting, and never with the intent of moving up here. My mind was so far away from here, I wasn't even thinking about moving here. And the way the Lord just kind of will fix you and will give you that desire as you continue to serve him. So it's important that if you're in that boat of waiting and you feel maybe discouraged and you feel like, God, I don't know if this is what you want from me, just stay doing right. Just go on your last marching orders. Whatever Christ told you to do, keep doing that. It's important that we stay listening to God in our life. One thing that I've noticed in this passage is that the disciples became clueless to what Christ had just done in their lives. Matthew 14, it's actually one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I preached at a third and fourth grade Sunday school class in Boise, and so I went through this whole chapter, and I love it. There's so much to it, actually, and obviously for time, I can't preach the whole chapter. But we see in verses 1 through 12 the story of John the Baptist being beheaded. John the Baptist stood up for right and was beheaded. And what's interesting, what points out to me, is in verse 12, it says, and his disciples came and took up of the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. And I think that's a great lesson when something in your life happens that might be hard to bear, you go and you tell Jesus. You know, Pastor mentioned that verse this morning, casting all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. And maybe that's a lesson God will have you learn, is to learn to go and tell Jesus. The next little lesson that I see that we can take away from is in verses 13 to 14. Jesus, when he heard of the news, he departed, and he was sad, but he still ministered. He still healed the multitude. And too many times when we get discouraged or sad, we kind of think it's an excuse to not minister. Maybe Christ is using you in a breaking point in your life of you don't understand why things are happening, so that way you can minister to other people. That could be a lesson as well. We understand in verses 15 through 21, arguably the greatest, most popular miracle in the New Testament, you have the feeding of the 5,000. You have Christ taking the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeding just 5,000 men, not including the woman and the children. Yep. And what an amazing miracle. And we see God work in this, and we say, man, how can these disciples out and see just forget all of this? And Mark 6:52, let's turn there, actually. Let's turn to Mark 6:52. Mark 6:52 says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And we think how crazy that is. We saw Christ just turn that little bit of food into so much more, and yet the second life got hard. They kind of forgot about the miracle. Yeah. And then we realize in our own lives, that's easy to do. How many times do we kind of just take for granted our salvation? And that's a scary one. That's a miracle that we got saved from Jesus Christ. We got to take part in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And too many times our heart becomes hardened. Life gets hard, something doesn't go our way, and we just kind of forget the miracle of your salvation. How about the salvation of a family or friend that you've been praying for forever, or the healing of a sickness, or something you see Christ provide time and time and time again, but the second that next storm hits, it's kind of like, oh man, you forget all about it. Brother Gary made a great recommendation. He said to get a prayer journal, and that's something that I've been doing kind of inconsistently, but it really is amazing how much you forget God did provide for you in the past. You kind of just worry and worry and worry about how is God going to handle this, and then he handles it perfectly, and then you just forget about it 6 months later. You don't even think about it. And too many times, I think in our own life, we get so focused on that next storm, that next storm, that next storm. We're not willing just to stop and say, okay, God, what have you done for me? I know you're going to provide again. I have faith that you're going to provide again. When we get clueless about Christ working in our lives, a storm will rock your boat. Do we have enough faith to go and do what God is telling us to do, or do we have little faith? I think a pretty common area people need some more faith, and myself included, is witnessing. Witnessing is a hard thing to do. You never want to, for some reason, you worry what people think about you, even though you're never going to see them again. I'm still trying to like teach myself, like, okay, I'm never going to see this person again. Their soul's important to me, but I still like, oh, I don't want them to not like me, and it's just kind of an interesting lie the devil will put in your life. And it's one of those things that say, God, I just need that faith. Lord, just help me to step out of that boat, step on that water. And it's never going to be easy. The biggest lie you will tell yourself is, I'll do it later when I know more, because you never will. You always have an excuse to not do it. You always have a reason to not witness. And one thing that is interesting is whenever an athlete or, I don't know, maybe a celebrity of some sort wins an award, we're quick to post it on Facebook or wear the merch or, yeah, that's my identity. And then Christ gives you victory over sin. He calms one of your storms. He saves a soul, and then we're quiet. Oh, we're not going to talk about that because that would require me to step out in faith. Yeah. And too many times we hold back, and we shouldn't hold back. Yeah. So the next thing we see in verses 28 through 31 are that the disciples are completely concentrated. Verse number 28 says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked out of the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Peter asked Christ to do something incredible. Not only incredible, but something he was unqualified to do. I don't think any of us in here have walked on literal water. If you have, you're on my team for volleyball because we're probably going to win. But none of us have ever done that. That's something absolutely incredible, something that we're, quite frankly, unqualified to do. Christian, what's that what's that impossible thing in your life, that incredible thing in your life that you may not be giving God quite the full control of? Maybe it's just, again, praying for a loved one who needs to be saved. Maybe it's just praying for a friend or being just a faithful witness. And you kind of just, oh, I don't know, God, if you have the faith to do that. And I'm unqualified. That's too much for me. I can't. And what's amazing is God tends to use the unqualified. You look at a lot of the men in the Bible and in Hebrews 11, a lot of those guys messed up quite a bit. And God still used them because they kept going back to God. They kept going back to God. They kept going back to God. They kept their eyes on Jesus Christ. It's important that if you want to do incredible things for God, you need to keep your focus on God. And it makes me beg the question of why do we stop asking God to do amazing things? You know, we may be praying for someone for a length of time, and then we just kind of stop because, oh, God, you're not going to do anything about it anyway. And that's a wrong attitude to have. Sometimes it can be discouraging, but tonight I just want to encourage you to keep praying for whoever you're praying for. Whoever it may be, just keep praying. You never know, just one prayer away. You never know. I grew up in church, and I didn't get saved until I was 18. And so about eighth grade and all throughout high school, I was pretty much done with God. And I think it's the prayers of my church family and my grandparents that kept me going. And if they would have stopped praying, who knows what would have happened. I'm thankful for their prayers. You never know what your prayers will do. You have to keep asking God and keep having faith in Christ. Amen. We see that Peter also began to sink, and that's something that can happen. You know, we have enough faith to say, okay, this is Christ, the storm. Christ, let me walk out. Christ will help you walk out. And we think, oh, we've arrived. Yeah, we've made it, which is never going to happen until we get to heaven. But then we can begin to sink after we're on the water. And Peter began to sink, and I believe he began to sink because the Bible says because of the storm in his life. I also believe that he probably was in his own mind a little bit about his lack of his ability, he's unqualified. The storms could be the difficulty in life. Maybe the other apostles, maybe some insecurities. I think that's a big reason people don't step out for Christ more is because of what is my friend going to think of me? What is my family going to think of me? And let me just tell you now tonight, that you're never going to regret stepping out for Christ. You will always regret staying and not going out on the water with Christ. Every single time, it does not matter. We have door-to-door visitation. I've been able to go with Brother Jordan and Pastor Garcia, and they can tell you I'm nervous beyond all measure. But every time I go, I get such a blessing out of it. And it's one of those things where every time I'm like, God, help me. You go to the door, and you know, you're like this kind of, oh, I don't know how this is going to work. And the Lord will help you through it if you keep your eyes on him. And that's the same thing in life. You know, as we go through our Christian life, you're going to go through difficulties, but don't let that stop you from serving the Lord. What's interesting to me is how people go through these difficulties in life without the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes life is just hard, and it just hurts. And I don't know how people get through some of the things that they do without the Holy Spirit. I know I need the Holy Spirit in my life and a spirit of comfort, and I don't know how people do it without, I don't know how people make decisions without Christ. It's just, it's something that we don't want to lose sight of. And so my question for you is, what are you concentrated on? You may be serving God, you may be keep going. Can I encourage you to keep your focus on Christ? Maybe tonight you're kind of sinking a little bit in the water, and you say, oh, my focus really hasn't been on Christ. The Lord's been tapping my heart to do this or to do this or to minister this way, and I've been kind of fighting it a little bit. Can I encourage you to get back in line with Christ and back focused on him? You know, we see in this passage of Scripture that when he began to sink, Peter fell, and he said, Lord, save me. And what's amazing is Christ didn't make him wait 30 seconds, said, I'm going to make you learn your lesson. No, it says he immediately stretched down and helped him up. So tonight, if you're struggling, if you're saying, Lord, I need your help, I need you to help me, he will immediately do it. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, you've been out of God's will for 3 weeks, you got to wait 3 weeks. That's not how it works. Christ is waiting for you to come back. He's wanting to stretch forth his hand and say, get back up. And maybe it's not even something where you're having a sin problem. Maybe you're just discouraged in life. Maybe life is just kind of beating you up right now. Just reach up and God will say, I got you. Amen. Do we have enough faith to do that? Do we have enough faith to allow Christ to do that? We're all familiar with Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We understand that a lot of times where we get in trouble in life and where we start to doubt is when it becomes very self-focused. A lot of times when it's, but I can't, or but I struggle with, or but I'm weak, or but they, or but whenever you think about Christ, it's kind of hard to justify a lot of the reasons why you're having a lack of faith. So I think if we can get our focus off of us and onto Christ, that's going to give us a lot more faith in these difficult times. To do the incredible we are unqualified to do, we must focus on the Lord. Are you willing to do the incredible for God and get your focus on him? Or do you have little faith? This next portion of scripture is just my favorite. So we see the first two reasons why these men begin to sink, or Peter begins to sink and begins to worry. But the next few verses, we get to see what happens when Christ gets back in their focus and gets back in their life. And this is the amazing part to me in verse 31 and 32. Okay, I'm still in Matthew 14. That's good. 31 to 32, it says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So what we see with Christ is our storm is completely ceased. I think too many times we kind of dwell in the storm on our own because we just focus too much on ourselves, as I said. Where are you today? Are you in the middle of a storm currently? Do you recognize some of these patterns in your life of maybe my focus isn't right? Maybe I'm a little discouraged because of the way the Lord is doing things. Just take rest in knowing that God's going to take care of you. Every single time he will provide for you. And sometimes he might take you to the very bitter end where you go, oh, God, I really don't know what's going to happen. And then boom, right when you worry, there it is. There's that provision. I've seen it time and time in my life. I put in my 2 weeks at my job in Boise, and it was a job that I actually really liked. I loved it a lot, and I didn't have anything else lined up. So people would say, oh, so what are you going to do when you get to, you know, Post Falls? I have no idea. That's a little bit of that faith where it's kind of like, oh, man, God, I'm going to give you this job that I love and just trust that you're going to provide. God, I know the storm will be ceased if I just keep trusting you. And the Lord's made it so great transitioning over here. Pastor's been very kind to allow me to work last week in the office. And so I've had time to, you know, get that structure. And if I would have been worried and said, I don't have a job, I'm not going until I get a job, I don't know if I would have ever been here. I think that was Christ saying, step on the water. Come on, step on the water. And you got to take that first step. It takes action, guys. You gotta take that first step. But you got to keep your eyes on Christ. And if you don't take that first step, it could be a sign of little faith. Are you being clueless in your life? Maybe too comfortable in your Christianity and concentrating on the wrong thing? And I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for good Bible churches where you can be comfortable in. But in terms of your standards, in terms of your Bible reading, in terms of your prayer, have you grown too comfortable? I know for me it's easy to kind of play Sunday Christian a little bit where, oh yeah, I'm at church on Sunday, but where's your Bible reading? Where's your prayer? Where's your standards? You know, how many times does the Lord work on your heart on a standard and say, hey, I want you to get this out of your life? 3 months later, we kind of justify it and be like, well, yeah, well, that was then. And, you know, God, it's not really what you want me to do. And I think you need to stick to the last marching orders that Christ told you to do. We have to be able to listen. There's a song from the Clarks. I don't know if they wrote it, but it's who I listened to it by. It's called The Middle of My Storm. Yeah. And I use that song a lot in my life when I was trying to get over some of my sin problems and just get through life and just kind of, God, I don't know why you're doing things the way you're doing. I'm not going to sing it, so Pastor, way better singer than I am. But I will read it, at least some of it. It says, Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, Lord, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing around, may I keep my eyes on you. Because, Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. We see in that same thing where Christ does not want you to doubt. He's asking them. He's saying, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He's saying, why are you doubting? And we can look and say, well, I would probably be doubting too if I was in the middle of the ocean and sinking. And yeah, that'd be kind of scary. I'm not a fan of deep waters. Maybe some people are. I do not like them. I don't know how I would walk on the water either. So I'm careful to judge Peter on some of the stuff he does, because if I was in his spot, I hope that I would react half as good as he did in terms of my life. But he doesn't want you to doubt. I'm kind of a natural doubter and natural overthinker. You know, it's easy to kind of say, God's not going to do this, or God's not going to do that. And you have to just cling to his promises. You have to just trust. You have to be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I. You have to understand that through the trial, through the testing, that's where God's going to grow you. You have to get stretched to grow. You're going to have to get uncomfortable to grow. That means you're going to have to knock on a door and ask him to church and tell him about Jesus Christ to grow. And it's going to be difficult and tough and a challenge. But it's how you grow your faith. It's by doing what God wants you to do. The Bible says, wherewithal shall young men cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God. We need to be taking heed to God's word. I was encouraged by this message this morning from Brother Fiedler, and he said, the problem in America is church is not producing fruit. And it's because you have to die to yourself. And no one wants to die to ourselves. I don't want to die to myself. You mean I have to give up my wants and my wishes and my desires to allow the Lord to work? Oh, you mean that this fun that I enjoy, that's a sin, I might have to give up because Christ wants me to do it this way? And again, it's always worth it to do it the way Christ wants you to. You're always going to hold back, and you're always going to regret it. I was talking to this guy. I think he was a recruiter for one of the jobs I was working for, and I don't really know too much about him at all, really, but he told me that he graduated from a Bible school, and he said it took him 11 years, and he said it's the one thing his dad told him is you'll never regret finishing Bible school, but you'll always regret starting it and not finishing. But I think that applies specifically to the Christian life. You're never going to regret finishing the Christian life. You're never going to regret staying close to God in your storm, but you're always going to regret walking away. And I'm thankful that we have a God who will save us instantly. And maybe tonight you're not saved. I don't know who's saved and who's not or who's watching. And the same thing with your salvation. You're not bad. You're not too bad for Christ to save you. Christ can save anybody if you'll return or if you repent and turn to him. Christ came to this earth as a perfect man, died on a cross, and rose again 3 days later for us. And the only thing that's going to send you to hell is the rejection of that. Your sin, rejecting Jesus Christ of that, is going to send you to hell. There's no other sin on this earth that will stop you from going. You have to go through Jesus Christ. Are you willing to give up of your sin and give up of your life and surrender to Christ? Or do you have little faith? And the last point I have here is in verse 33. And this is an exciting one. And it says, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And so here we see complete confidence. A lot of times when Christ gets you through a storm, that's what kind of gets you through the next one. Yeah. When you go through something difficult and God's just so good and he always is, that's what helps you get through the next one.
That's right.
And so today, if you're going through a storm, just think about how good God is and how he's gotten you through everything so far. And just keep trusting him. And I'm not saying I understand, because to be honest, I probably don't. But I know God does. I know God cares for you. I know God wants to help you. And man may say something where you get offended or hurt your feelings, and that wasn't very kind. And just have grace with people. Allow them to you know, learn some things and just keep your eyes on Christ and allow his comfort and everything to guide you. But allow that to have confidence in your life. I love it. It says, they came and they worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And I can just picture Christ coming back in the boat and the disciples just getting down and saying, you're the Son of God. And sometimes in life, you just need to get down on your knees and just say, God, thank you. You are the Son of God. I thank you so much for everything you've done. You've seized the storms. You've gotten me through it time and time again. And I'm sorry that I doubt. O thou for of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I don't know why I doubt. It's because I have a lack of faith. But God, if I keep my eyes on you, if I can just trust in you, yeah, it might be difficult getting through a sin. Yeah, it might be difficult making a decision. But God, I know that if I give it to you, you will help me get through it. You will seize the storm. And I want to just encourage you guys tonight to just keep going. Everyone's going through something, and just please keep going for the Lord. It'll help you through your next storm. True faith produces true worship, and that's important that we worship Christ, and that comes out of sacrifice sometimes. I'm convicted by soul winners because it's not easy to do, but it's true faith and it's true confidence. When you see someone who will just tell anyone about the gospel of Christ, that's true confidence in the Lord. That's them saying, okay, God, you've got me through this. I'm sharing your name. You're the best. And it's sad to me when people say, oh, that's not for me. Jesus isn't for me. He's actually the only thing for you. Yeah. Nothing else is for you. Jesus is the only thing for you.
Right.
And the reason you feel empty and you keep searching and searching and searching is because you're rejecting the solution. So just keep going. And one thing my pastor says, he says, any witness you do is better than no witness. I like the way I'm doing it better than the way you're not. So in terms of witnessing, I can get discouraged because you don't see results. You pass out tracts and no one gets saved, and you door knock, no one gets saved, and it's kind of discouraging. You don't know the seed you're sowing. All we can do is sow. We don't get to choose where the seed lands. If someone wants to reject it, that's past our control, but you're required to sow. Are you doing your part? Are you having the faith to sow, the confidence to sow? I just want to read a few verses. Again, we don't have to turn there, but they're all verses everyone probably knows. But Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Psalms 34:4 says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Psalms 126:5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And my favorite verse, 1 John 4:4, says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Yes. Today, are you tired of having little faith? Are you tired of doubting the Lord? Maybe you struggle to remember the things Christ has done in your life. Why don't we just kind of take a moment and just look at what Christ has done in our life, our salvation, his provision. Let's kind of just meditate on that a little bit, just on what Christ has done in our life. Maybe it's just re-solidifying a standard. I think a common one is Bible reading. Maybe it's saying, "God, I'll start reading the Bible again." And, you know, I think people genuinely do love the Lord and want to seek him and struggle with Bible reading. I think sometimes you just get busy, and I'm not justifying it by any means, but I don't think it's one of these things that mean that you hate God if you don't read every day. I think people genuinely do seek God and seek the truth and just struggle with it. And maybe you just need to re-solidify that in your life. Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe you are living a faithful life, but you're holding back. You're too focused on the wrong things in life. Give your focus back to the Lord today. Maybe you just gotta say, "God, I've been too worried about what others think of me. I've been too worried about this circumstance that's out of my control. I just want to give it back to you. I just ask that you'll seize the storm." Amen. Maybe lastly, you're ready to stop doing things yourself. You're ready to let Christ in the boat. Today, call out to the Lord and say, "Lord, save me," and start living with the ceased storm. And I just want to encourage you guys to keep going in the Lord. I am so encouraged to see people who have been faithful for so long, because I know life can be so hard, and I haven't really experienced too much hardship in my life. I've had a pretty good, easy life. Lord's blessed me with that. And it encouraged me to see Christians faithful throughout all the years who, when they go through the storm, they're still here. They're just going to keep coming to Christ. And does that mean you handle every situation perfectly? No, it doesn't. But it means that you keep going back to Christ. And that's an example for me. And I'm so encouraged by that spirit in this church. And one quick thing, my grandparents were calling me, and they were that faithful testimony in my life. Just throughout all the hardships we gave them as a family, they just kept going for the Lord, kept going for the Lord. And they asked me, you know, things that I was excited to learn. And truthfully, one thing I said is I'm excited to learn from a lot of the faithful men in this church. Obviously, I'm going to learn a lot from Pastor Garcia working under him, but I'm excited to learn from a lot of you guys who have been so faithful for a long time. I believe there's a lot of wisdom in this church. I'm excited about the spiritual temperature of this church. We want to see souls saved, and there's a lot I can learn. So I thank you guys. I just have a quick poem because I went to Bible school, so I got to do the 4 points in a poem and all that. So I just got a quick poem, and I'm going to have Pastor come up, and then we'll be done. It's called "Peace in the Storm." It says, "I stand alone beside the stormy sea. The crash of waves roll over me, and seagulls screaming their harsh cry sing songs of praise to God on high. The cooling water washes o'er my feet. It's here that God and I will meet. The sunrise blossoms like a rose that softly lightens as it glows. He comes to me, and though I cannot see, I feel his presence near to me. He whispers gently, I can hear his voice declaring, do not fear. When frightening storms of life around you beat and you are tossing on your fleet, I'm here to guide you where you stray. Just give control to me that day. It's then I can see my loving Lord and realize heaven's my reward. And if I truly follow him, he'll guide me through my darkest hour." Thank you, Pastor.